Welcome to Tech Bytes. This is a short sponsored conversation. Today, the conversation is with HashiCorp, and we're talking Terraform Cloud. You're like, oh, Terraform, infrastructure is code, right? I do something in Terraform, then magic happens in my infrastructure. Yeah, you got that part right. You're, you know, more or less, you're in the ballpark. And so then if you're thinking Terraform Cloud, so that means I can do cloudy things now with Terraform. Well, you always could do cloudy things with Terraform. So Terraform Cloud is actually something else. And if you want to find out what that is, listen to this conversation between Ned Bellavance and Rosemary Wang at HashiCorp.
Welcome to Day 2 Cloud. We have our guest, Rosemary Wang from HashiCorp. She is a developer advocate. Welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Thank you both. I appreciate you having me on.
And since this is a Tech Bytes conversation, we're going to get right into the nitty-gritty. You work with Terraform, and that is infrastructure as code. And for listeners who might not be super familiar with infrastructure as code, can you just kind of lay the groundwork for what you mean when we're talking about infrastructure as code?
Sure. So infrastructure as code is applying the software development practices that we hear about and we see and we read about into working with infrastructure. So that could be using version control for infrastructure configuration. That could mean that you maybe do code reviews on your configuration, because change review boards, they're not exactly code review, but they're pretty close, right? And it's applying maybe some of this continuous delivery concept, which is making really small changes and doing it as frequently as possible, and then testing that and delivering to production. So it's a whole confluence of many practices and many patterns.
Wow. And here I thought it was just, now I have a template file instead of, you know, before where I was running some scripts or clicking through a portal. So you're saying infrastructure as code, it's not just the code itself. It's actually a set of practices that goes around that.
Exactly. I think that it's a journey, right? So we're not going to go right off the bat and say all of a sudden 1,000 commits a day, right? And we're going to completely change our infrastructure. And the reality is, I started in networking. It wasn't really something that was possible in networking. No one was going to tell me to make a bunch of changes to switches and move away from that CLI typing in a Cisco switch to just being completely automated, right? You could just take down an entire network because of that. So as a result, there are a lot of other parts to infrastructure as code besides making changes through the code aspect and also the configuration aspect.
Right. So you don't jump right in and you're not doing all the things. You gotta ramp up a little bit.
Exactly. And
I imagine when you're ramping up, you would probably recommend using a tool like, I don't know, maybe Terraform to do that. So for the person who's just getting started, what would just getting started with Terraform look like?
Terraform is really neat because when you're starting with infrastructure automation, you have to think about the logic of what happens, right? There's an order of operations for, let's say, when you create a server and then you configure it. And then after that, maybe you configure a database on top of that. So there's an order of operations. And what's neat about Terraform is that a lot of people sat down and decided to think about these operations for you. And they wrote that into some neat automation. So Terraform is all about intent. It's not really a coding language. It's a declarative sort of syntax. So once you declare the intent of what you want in your infrastructure configuration, Terraform will give it to you and it will handle some of the dependencies associated with it.
Okay. So I've got a process that I do today, some infrastructure that I deployed today in whatever format. I can port that over to Terraform and have Terraform provisioning that infrastructure for me. And let's say I get comfortable with that, and now I'm like, hey, my network team and my server team, I found this new tool. Let's all use it together. How does that sort of evolve?
Well, it first starts that everybody hops onto a repository of some kind that you've put somewhere into the magical ether. And then everybody says, this configuration doesn't look right. And so they'll start to make, let's say, pull requests. They'll start making changes, and then it gets to this confusing, lovely mess. it becomes a bit of a ball of spaghetti in terms of infrastructure configuration. So people start to reach this pain point where they've opened it up for people to look at, for people to comment on, which is great, because then you get more information from subject matter experts, like someone who's more adept at security than you are. But it just evolves sometimes to this big ball of mud. And sometimes you're no better off than when you had been manually clicking through consoles, clicking through CLIs, working sort of asynchronously in a manual way. Mm-hmm. And so eventually you'll grow to this collaboration model where you have to find solutions to make it easier to collaborate.
Okay. And I think there's probably multiple aspects to that collaboration. So you mentioned one, which is get it in source control. So
yep.
You know, I know personally, whenever I'm starting off a new project with Terraform or anything, first thing I do is create a repository on GitHub. It's like almost muscle memory now, because maybe somebody else is going to contribute to it. Maybe they won't, but I might as well just have it there. But okay, so now I got that there. That's a portion of it. But then I imagine there's other collaboration components. I know that state management is a big thing, as well as who's actually running Terraform and where is it running from. So how are people solving that today with the Terraform open source solution?
Most of it has to be built themselves. I've built it myself, and it took 3 or 4 weeks to put in place. Auditing is really hard for an open source tool that's by nature not made to audit things, right? So it's made to maybe apply the changes, but internally Terraform open source doesn't really have audit tracking. So you have to build that yourself. You have to make sure that people have the right access controls when you add it to, let's say, version control, when you add it to a CI framework like Jenkins or CircleCI. All of that you have to figure out yourself. And then the other piece of this might be that, let's say you've got multiple states everywhere. If you've run Terraform before and you've run it locally, you might have accidentally done an rm-rf to a lovely .terraform subdirectory that holds all that metadata. And then that I've done that. I actually did that earlier today, but you're like, oh no, I just deleted my state. And then now you have all of these resources hanging out there in your cloud provider, costing money and using resources that you don't need anymore. And right. So state sort of is a tricky thing when you're using open source Terraform. You need one place to manage it if you're managing across a team, mostly because if one person has it and another person has a different one, how do you know what is actually the true state? What is the source of truth?
Right. So I want to go back very briefly to the auditing and permissions aspect of it, because that sometimes I think is a little overlooked when you're adding people to a team. Maybe you don't want them to be able to create all of the resources. Maybe your networking team should be responsible for setting up virtual networks and switches and those types of things. Your server team, maybe they're just responsible for servers. Is that something you could do with the open source version of Terraform, or is that something that you'd have to pay for?
So you won't be able to do that with Terraform open source, but you can actually do that with our SaaS product called Terraform Cloud. There are tiers that you have the ability to go in and add teams who can collaborate and have the access control to specific workspaces or specific components of infrastructure.
Okay. So that's one aspect that I think of as a project begins to expand and more components get added to it. I want that level of restriction. And then I also want to know, like, if Jimmy John down the hallway checked in a piece of code and it broke everything, I want to know that Jimmy's the one who did it. Not to yell at him necessarily, but just like, okay, I need to address that issue with Jimmy and make sure that he understands what happened and why it happened. It sounds like that's another thing that you don't necessarily have that tracking capability within the open source version of Terraform.
That's correct. I think that it is really it's really difficult to set up. It's non-trivial to actually set up identity and access management and know that Bob accidentally did something, right? Unless you actually have all of that in place. So to get started for smaller and sort of mid-sized teams, to get started is a really difficult concept to wrap their head around. And then when they talk to security teams or they talk to audit teams, and there's this requirement that comes up, whether it be by SOX compliance or something else, it becomes really difficult to dedicate, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks to organizing this tracking and this auditing.
Right. And I have spent my time trying to just figure out identity and access management in AWS alone. And that is just a complete nightmare. I can't imagine if I was deploying something across multiple environments, trying to manage the identity and access across those multiple environments. No, thank you. I'm happy for someone else to do that. The other thing that we talked about for a moment was state. And for listeners who aren't super familiar with Terraform, can you just explain what's in that state file and why it's probably kind of important?
State is really important for infrastructure because it's a bit like your source of truth. When in the sort of the data center concept, you would use a CMDB, a configuration management database, and you would have a concept of what inventory you had, which applications were running on which servers, which IP addresses they were maybe allocated to. And the result was that you had this source of truth. Now in this public cloud environment, it's really difficult to keep track of that in a traditionally managed CMDB. So the result is that when you're dynamically changing configuration that quickly, you need a way to keep it updated, make sure it's reconciled. So any other changes that are applied, you can actually understand the differences in the impact. So the powerful thing about managing state in one place is that if someone else wants to make changes to that infrastructure, they're able to see the effect of their changes and preemptively decide whether or not they should apply that change or if they should apply other mitigating factors to it. So if they said, I'm going to delete a database, they actually notice that they're going to delete a database.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Maybe don't do that, Jimmy. Maybe you don't delete my database. So there's also some important information that's stored in state that could potentially be sensitive. So are there protections that are offered by Terraform Cloud to protect the sensitive data that's sitting in your state? Because I know that can be a challenge when you're storing state locally or in some of the other supported backends for state management.
So with Terraform Cloud, the idea is that you can store the sort of sensitive state in a way that you provide access control to who can see it, who can't see it. For the most part, you don't really need to dig into state unless you know what you have to do with it. That's generally the advisory. You shouldn't go into your Terraform JSON and go make edits into that JSON directly, although some people do. I think that we're getting to some more sophisticated features in encrypting the actual values in the state file. So Terraform Cloud will encrypt the entire state file and then store it encrypted. So, and protected. You have to control who gets access to it. But even within the values and sensitive state itself, Terraform, we're actually looking at other ways to encrypt those variables specifically so we can actually target them. So it's sort of a two-pronged approach. With Terraform Cloud, you get that encrypted out of the box.
Cool. So if I sign up for Terraform Cloud, I get state management, I get some access controls, I get some collaboration tools. If I want to start using Terraform Cloud, do I have to start shelling out some money? Is there like a free trial? So what's the onboard process for getting spun up on Terraform Cloud?
What's great is that Terraform Cloud has a free tier. The free tier is really neat because you get state management so you can store state, but you can also remote execute. So it's really useful for me because I actually have to create demos or I have to create infrastructure really rapidly. And I don't have time to sit and create a CI runner in some other CI frameworks to install all those Terraform dependencies. So out of the box, what I get for free is I can just create a workspace, upload some Terraform configuration, link it to maybe some version control in any version control you desire. And then I'll just apply changes and it will remote execute for it. I don't have to set up containers to run Terraform for me. I don't have to run it locally. So all of that comes out of the box and you can pretty easily get started.
But that does seem fairly convenient. I now have something that I can go tinker with for the rest of today. If people want to know more about Terraform Cloud, where can they go to sign up or just learn some more information?
So definitely check out app.terraform.io. There are a variety. There's a lot of information there. And there's also a sign up. The paid trial, if you go into the settings, is available for 30 days. And what that will do is allow you to try out policy as code. That's Sentinel. It will also allow you to try some of the access control features and the access control capabilities that we were chatting about earlier. And if you want to learn more about Terraform in general, go to learn.hashicorp.com.
Cool. If people want to know more about you and where to find you, where should they go? Where should they look?
So you can find me on GitHub and Twitter with the first letter of the following phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. So JOATMON08, because I'm quite literally a jack of all trades, master of absolutely none of them, with 08 at the end. Or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, Rosemary, thank you so much for being a guest on this Tech Bytes version of Day 2 Cloud.
Thank you for having me.